Hello friends, so welcome to Insights Conversation with Mahesh Deshpande. Mahesh is the Senior Director, Global Business Consultant, High Industry at Dassault Systèmes. He is a seasoned technology product solution development executive driven by customer value, business impact and vision. Mahesh holds over 24 years of experience in R&D, business development, product innovation consulting and more. Today, we will discuss with Mahesh about 3D printing in semiconductor manufacturing, IC designing, and the underlying challenges, opportunities, and its scopes. So, Mahesh, welcome to our Insights conversation today.
Thanks, Anavika.
Thanks. So, Mahesh, we will start with knowing about how 3D printing is assisting in semiconductor manufacturing and dealing with the shortage the world is experiencing right now.
Sure. So 3D printing in electronics and semiconductor in particular hasn't lived yet to the hype of, you know, bringing the mass producibility and the complexity underlying in there, you know, primarily because semiconductors is a mass volume game and additive manufacturing technologies are still cost prohibitive and time consuming for volumes, right? A large semiconductor company can supply anywhere upward of 200 million plus products every day worldwide. And the additive technologies are more suitable for low volume, more complexity things. That said, there is a much larger potential for application of 3D printing into semiconductor fabrication equipment. You know, the equipment that is making the semiconductor fabs run 24/7 all over the world, you know, producing these volumes, and they're extremely complex equipments. They are fully automated, they are multidisciplinary, and the underlying complexity of the parts and the low volume nature really lends itself to 3D printing. And there have been now many efforts underway to bring the additive, particularly the metal additive technologies, to creating so highly specialized parts, say in the photolithography systems. And as the shortage gets more acute, you know, the need to run these fabs continuously with extremely high reliability is very important. And any need to very rapidly diagnose the underlying issue in a semiconductor fab equipment, make a replacement of a defective part, and bring it quickly back to the fab is a perfect use case for 3D printing, and you can have a very fast turnaround time for the replacement, maintenance, and the repair scenarios there.
So to deal with the shortage that the world is experiencing right now, how is 3D printing going to help that? How is it going to fasten the entire process? And also to deal with this shortage, the industry needs to create semiconductors faster, but without compromising on the testing and quality check, which is kind of a heart of semiconductor. So is 3D ready to help them in this area also?
See, the current shortage is strictly not a product design problem. You know, it's a manufacturing and supply problem. The delivery lead times in semiconductors are already inherently long due to the complexity of manufacturing process. You know, a typically large company, you know, has to deal with, you know, say 500 types of packages, you know, 400 upwards of different types of chip dies, multiple technologies, and, you know, 2000 plus process steps. And the lead times can be several months long, 20 to 26 weeks, of which, you know, much larger portion is spent in the front end process, the wafer fabrication process, up to 20 weeks, and over 6 weeks in the back end for assembly and test. So in order to deal with that complexity, there's still large amount of, you know, transformation is needed. You know, so there is this superficial problem of, you know, demand patterns that are coming and they are not being able to cope. But in this whole manufacturing and the supply chain of semiconductors, there are tremendous opportunities to have the right visibility and control. So for example, from a manufacturing flexibility standpoint, you have to deal with the allocation of the various semiconductor chips to the various plants. And the processes have to go through a large number of steps. So all this can be modeled in a model-based engineering paradigm. So you have a complete view of the bill of material as it evolves through the various manufacturing process steps in the front end and in the back end. There is also the issue of multiple sourcing from various suppliers, in order to mitigate the risks and have the right volumes, and how to model that in your product definition. There is also the need for cross manufacturing, being able to produce the same chip and in more than one fabs, being able to qualify that upfront, technology wise and customer wise. Routing of the product through this whole supply network dynamically, depending on whether you want to prioritize the supply order for a very strategic customer, or you want to prioritize the routing through the network of a very high margin product. So all this flexibility can be created through this model-based engineering and model-based manufacturing approach, and have this associativity all the way from design to manufacturing and through supply chain. And then through in the course of the supply execution itself, you can have a model-based supply planning approach, wherein you are able to better connect the demand from the various customers and partners with your available supply networks, being able to produce the right volumes in the right fabs according to the right KPIs. So all this can be orchestrated, through a complete model-based approach from design to manufacturing to supply chain. So in a sense, there is a tremendous opportunity to improve the responsiveness of the semiconductor fabs and OEMs to address this this current shortage. Now, obviously, there is some redesign of the products is also necessary for the OEMs, to take into account alternate suppliers to components, that are currently facing acute shortages. So there is some redesign going on in terms of having that that flexibility in your product development. So those development cycles are again happening. But again, within this model-based engineering approach and being able to apply, various simulation technologies, the companies can very quickly re-engineer or incrementally re-engineer the product and validate it and bring it faster to the market still.
Okay. So we see that the number of connected devices are soon going to multiply considerably. And with wearable devices, when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to education, entertainment, so these connected devices are just going to take over everything. So how has this opened up an opportunity for 3D printing in IC designing? And what are some of the challenges and trends you foresee in this space?
See, the connected devices are going to be pervasive in the sense of entirely new form factors, the range of wireless connectivity, the kind of sensing abilities it's going to have, and the underlying need for a sustainable power supply to make them more autonomous, right? So in that sense, the IC design has to go to the next level of like more than Moore, in the sense of going beyond the current the nanoscale limitations with newer technologies such as 3D packaging with the system in package with 3D stacking of dies on a smaller footprint, or substrate like PCBs, for instance, that one has been out there, saying iPhone X, where Apple was able to reduce 30% volume of the motherboard, while all the chips remained as they are. So all these things, require now an integrated system level design approach, wherein the R&D must consider a holistic design from the chip to the package to the multiple boards, PCB boards level design. Also integrate other important design, say the battery design in there, from a power sustenance standpoint. And that also brings a lot of multi-physics phenomena in there. So you have to test and from the standpoint of structural integrity, thermal behaviors, electromagnetics. And as the electronics and semiconductors get more pervasive, one other very interesting phenomena that's happening is the shift of semiconductor IP and the design capacity gradually in-house, unlike, totally relying on the external, semiconductor providers, so this is happening because there was going to be specialized chips for everything, chips for data centers, AI, machine learning, automotive. I mean, it's already becoming pervasive with electrification, battery power management, networking. So you name it, there is going to be an ASIC, a specialized ASIC for that. So the underlying challenge there is it's the need to build the competency to develop chips in-house for differentiation, to have a strong roadmap for your products and time to market. And so just as every company has become a software company, virtually every manufacturing company is going to become a semiconductor company from a design standpoint in the next 10 years in some ways. So this will require the new workforce of the future, wherein you have a strong electronics design competencies, a system design competencies in-house, also new methods for development of electronics much rapidly, unlike the current long lead times on the semiconductors and the microelectronics. So for instance, the modularization of the system on chips with chiplet like architecture, which is more IP based, as the use of IP in building semiconductor grows 7 times every 10 years. And so this IP management and the modularity is going to be critical. So these are some of the trends, we are seeing in the electronics and the semiconductor design as the connected devices get pervasive.
So you rightly mentioned that many of the semiconductor or fab manufacturing is going to go in-house, especially looking at the current times when the industry is facing a shortage of semiconductors and the demand is high, supply is quite slow right now. So how can this 3D printing bridge that gap, help these companies save costs, become really faster? I won't say go to market because they are going to use it in-house. So how is this going to help it, and what kind of opportunity lies for Dassault there?
Yeah, so right now the use of semiconductors is on a specialization basis and a differentiation basis. So there is this mix of relying on some key semiconductor design partners or the end chip providers and bringing few in house, but that's also going to be part of more of the IP marketplace, if you will. The way it has happened in the mechanical space, the ability to very quickly go out and find the right supplier for a specific type of a mechanical or electrical component, that same ecosystem for IP for semiconductor and electronics design is going to grow, right? And so with that comes the need to have a much better visibility on what kind of IP is coming into my product, how mature it is, who are the suppliers. Then there is also the compliance angle. There is a royalty and licensing angle. All that has to be traced from the incoming sources of the IP all the way into your product lines and through the life of the products. There is also a strong need for validation of IP from a performance, reliability perspective, manufacturability perspective. So there is the need to manage the IP in a platform-based way. You know, this is not just in a transactional issue any longer, because you know that's really the core of the innovation and the engine to give you the faster time to market and the differentiation. So we can think of, you know, various solutions along the way to manage the integrity of the IP, the modularity of the products based on IPs, continuous verification and validation across different kinds of IP, and then the handover of the design for the testing and the new product introduction cycles. So this is really a nice play for a digital innovation platform that can lend itself to this semiconductor-based innovation.
Okay. So Mahesh, the entire semiconductor industry is moving faster towards 3D chips. And how is 3D going to help achieve this thinner chip, especially when it comes to electronic skin? It's going to be as thin as your skin. So what is the challenge for the 3D industry as well when it comes to electronic skin?
Yeah, see, the semiconductors are not only getting thinner, but also as part of the whole product package, they are getting a lot more flexible. They are becoming higher density products, really. And so that brings the need for ultra-low power processors, you know, communication chips, memory, all that integrated, still mounted on a printed circuit board, you know, to form a system-level solution. And so that brings the need to have the right interfaces, the battery, sensors, and all that. And, you know, that's why you're seeing the newer applications coming in, wearables, the autonomous robotics, and like you said, the electronics skins for medical monitoring and other types of applications. So this also brings in the need for new material innovation. And when you put all that together, the testing becomes all the more difficult because of all the complexity and the high functional integration. So in terms of use case, you know, we can think of the need to design new materials, whether organic or inorganic silicon or otherwise substrates. So we have solutions in terms of 3D molecule level modeling and mechanical property simulation at material level. And then we have structural analysis in terms of deformation and warping and other kinds of, you know, analysis through the various simulation tools, wireless connectivity simulation. So the antenna is still a key component of the e-skin or all these type of, you know, connected products. So whether the antenna is a chip level antenna or a PCB mounted antenna, so the antenna could be custom designed. So we have to have an optimum placement of the antenna from a reception performance standpoint. And then there is all kinds of electromagnetics interference compatibilities to be assessed through an electromagnetic simulation. And the antenna is also interacting a lot with the rest of the device. It's not acting in isolation. So with the structure of the device in terms of, you know, creating the resonance or in along with the battery. And so all that has to be really assessed through a holistic, you know, multi-physics electronic simulation. There is also the human aspect to consider in e-skin and these wearables application. So we have to perform a SAR, you know, standard absorption rate type of simulation to check the impact of the radiation, antenna radiation on the human tissue. So there is a tremendous need for various, you know, 3D-based virtual technologies to deal with this complexity and the miniaturization and be able to test multitude of scenarios that are not just possible to test in a physical way, but so you have to front load those in the virtual world.
Okay. So let us talk about the telecommunication industry right now. There is so much of revolution happening there with 5G, and there still lies a lot of challenge, especially when it comes to countries like India, which still are struggling with having a proper 4G connection. So how is 3G going to help them achieve this 5G motive, you can say the goal, and enhance the user experience and customer service?
Yeah, see, 5G is coming, but it's coming in a hybrid mode to begin with. So we're going to see many converged network sites with a mix of, you know, 4G plus 5G. And so there's a lot of effort going on for network densification, depending on the topology and the urban landscape and other special needs. There is a configuration density. So not there's not just one type of network site. You know, you'll have macro cells to small cells to, you know, very small, you know, distributed antenna cells. So various kinds of configuration to serve various types of, you know, capacity and latency needs. There is also regulatory pressure for carrier aggregation and spectrum sharing. So maintaining quality of service and being able to recover quickly from outages and planned downtimes is really critical for customer satisfaction, right? So from the standpoint of the telecom operators, having a complete view of the network site, not just the physical infrastructure out there, but like in terms of its logical layer, in terms of its network layer is extremely important. So we can envision this virtual twin of the network sites altogether from the standpoint of issue detection, degradation of service, or being able to plan new network upgrades, and being able to do that without excessive site visits and the interruption to the ongoing service. So there are newer technologies in the sense of, you know, having a 3D, complete 3D as-built view of the bill of information, in having a realistic 3D work instructions for the service delivery, whether it is for upgrades or some quick maintenance. So the telecom operators can evolve from a document and kind of physical monitoring based approach to a more model based and this hybrid, you know, virtual plus, you know, physical approach there. Then we have the 5G network equipment players, you know, and many of them are helping the operators in the network rollout and the managed services. So they are taking often the responsibility of managing and operating an entire site. And so this issue of, you know, being able to quickly roll out a site. And for that, you know, we can think of technologies like BIM, building information management, to get a complete view of the various construction deliverables, all the design assets, in such a way that the telecom company is able to perform these network upgrades and expansions with minimum site surveys. Then, you know, we have with 5G also an extraordinary complexity with the active antennas and the various configurations it can bring. So you cannot test these active antennas just in a lab settings, you know, because an antenna is subject to the real world, you know, environmental constraints like wind loads, you know, rains, I mean, all kinds of situations, site constraints, depending on the neighborhood around the on the site. So the form factor of the antenna, the coverage, throughput, interference, you know, that it might be subject to, all this needs to be simulated in a dynamic environment. There is also with 5G some new data streaming technologies being added, such as the massive MIMO beam forming behaviors. So all this can be tested without incurring the physical prototype testing or on-site testing with holistic multi-physics, you know, simulation approach, you know, because of various use cases that have to be tested all in conjunction.
Mm-hmm. Nice insights, Mahesh. So before we conclude, would you like to add something to our conversation today? And especially when it comes to the world of 3D, in the world of electronics.
Right, so this notion of virtual twin and model-based enterprise, even though it began in the core industrial manufacturing world, in aerospace and automotive, it has rapidly made its way into the world of high tech and electronics, you know, wherein, you know, we have now the maturity of looking at electronics as the whole system and being able to design this whole system and manage the evolution of that system in its individual pieces, in the mechanical, electrical, electronics, but also in its overall performance, and being able to deliver this with a faster time to market and with the right quality and with the right cost. So the time to apply the 3D virtual technologies, virtual twin and model-based enterprise is now, and that the electronics companies, whether OEM or in the supply chain, can tremendously benefit from taking this platform-based approach to the R&D of the new electronics-based products, but also continue that downstream in the value chain into testing and into manufacturing and supply chain.
Thank you, Mahesh. Thank you for such a wonderful insight on 3D and the electronic industry. It's really good to know how 3D is going to play an important role within the entire industry, not just when it comes to saving costs, but also when it comes to developing, bridging the gap there exists between the demand and supply, and what is there even for the telecommunication industry. So I thank you for your time today and providing these valuable insights. And I look forward to connect with you soon.
It was nice talking with you, Anamika.
Same here, Mahesh. Thank you. Hello, friends. Thank you, friends, for joining us today for this Insights conversation. For more such details about the electronic industry, please follow us on our YouTube channel.